Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 88 to close at 18,956. It is a record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, there is a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme music. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. There's a window, a big glass pane between me and them. Keeps me safe. Oh, look at this. They're all wearing their raincoats. Actually, there's a combination in there. Raincoats, slickers. That looks like a Macintosh there. And James, that's a poncho. Is that a real poncho or is that a Sears poncho? They're lighting the candles. And for those of you who attended Financial Fest over the weekend in Scottsdale, you know how we celebrate record high closes. We celebrate with milk and cookies. Today we have a nice combination of chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, and sugar cookies waiting for us in the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the Break Room. Candles lit, there they go, off. It's not really a parade. It looks more like a line of ducks. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 88 at 18,956, record high close. S&P 500 up 16 at 2,198, also a record high close. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 5,368, also a record high close. This is the third simultaneous all-time closing high this year for all three major indices, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.34%. Oil up $1.87 at $48.23 per barrel. Gold up $6.50. at $1,214.90 per ounce. The Russell 2000 Index also finished at a record high, 1,322, a gain of about 6.5 points, or right at 0.5%. The index of small stocks outperformed its large-cap counterpart year-to-date, rising more than 16% since January. You compare that to a 7.6% gain for the S&P 500. Last week, blue chips managed to eke out some minimal gains, while the NASDAQ knocked out a very solid 1.6%. The techs still have a ways to go, considering the stock market's post-election advance has pulled the Dow up a little over 3%, the NASDAQ just under 3%. U.S. dollar trading slightly lower today, following 10 straight days of gains for the currency. Longest winning streak for the greenback in over 3 years. Dollar has been supported by continued expectations for higher interest rates by the Federal Reserve, as well as by the prospect of fiscal stimulus. The U.S. dollar index hit its highest level since April 2003 last week, and the dollar briefly hit a fresh multi-month high against the yen during Asian trading hours. Now, you should always be a bit circumspect when you see big dollar moves. Remember, when investors get nervous, they move to cash, and when foreign investors get nervous, they move to the safe haven of the dollar. Now, this doesn't mean a sell-off is imminent, but I think it does show some investors have a finger on the trigger. OPEC's technical committee met in Vienna today to discuss the implementation of the Algiers Oil Supply Pact, finalized September 28th, which would end a 2-year policy of pumping without limits. The gathering comes as Iran and Iraq signal optimism for a deal, and Russia sees few hurdles to oil producers reaching agreement on supply levels. A formal OPEC meeting will take place November 30th. Oil rallied 4% today, adding to last week's 5.3% gain. They're trying to push oil back to the mid-50s. Of course, it's tough to get it up much higher than 50. People just start pumping more and more of it, supply and demand. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer said fiscal policy can do more to help the economy. In a speech this morning, Fisher said, "While there is disagreement about what the most effective policies would be, some combination of improved public infrastructure, better education, more encouragement for private investment, and more effective regulation all likely have a role to play in promoting faster growth of productivity and living standards." End quote. Now, for several years, the Fed has been providing monetary stimulus while fiscal policy has been a check on growth. In some ways, the Fed was the only game in town. Fisher did not discuss the short-term outlook, but futures contracts indicate the Fed will raise interest rates for the first time in a year when they meet next month. 2-year yields, among the most sensitive to what the Fed does with its benchmark, climbed earlier to 1.08%, approaching the highest level since 2010. Bonds have slumped, yields surged this month on expectations President-elect Trump's spending plans will lead to faster inflation. Global dividends fell during the third quarter at the fastest pace since mid-2015, as American dividend growth slowed to a post-crisis low. According to the Henderson Global Dividend Index, U.S. payouts fell to $100 billion, down 7% on a headline basis. Payments were constrained by subdued profit growth, which can partly be explained by a strong dollar, alongside higher levels of debt, causing management to take a cautious approach when deploying cash. Chicago Fed National Activity Index rose to a negative 0.08 in October from negative 0.23 in September, as factory production, housing, and consumer spending, as well as the business orders that make up the index, mostly improved. Employment had a neutral effect. The October reading still shows U.S. economic growth running below its potential. The stakes are high, as the Department of Justice's antitrust case against Anthem and Cigna's merger gets underway in Washington, D.C. Expect more of the usual drama. The proposed $54 billion tie-up is being billed as bad for consumers, and both companies have accused each other of breaching their merger agreement. The case will be followed by a second trial involving the proposed combination of Aetna and Humana on December 5th. Symantec is acquiring identity theft protection company LifeLock, $24 per share or $2.3 billion, including debt, in a deal that it hopes will prop up sales at its Norton antivirus unit. And earlier this year, Symantec bought Blue Coat Systems for $4.6 billion. And to pay for all this, they sold their data storage firm Veritas for $7.4 billion, changing their emphasis to cybersecurity. Nokia is collaborating with the United Arab Emirates General Civil Aviation Authority for developing an end-to-end ecosystem to support an unmanned aerial network. At the heart of the new system is Nokia's UAV traffic management concept, which will make the United Arab Emirates the first country in the world to allow the operation of drones by both businesses and government agencies. Alibaba plans to launch 4 new global data centers as it steps up its competition against Amazon and Microsoft in the rapidly growing cloud computing market. The centers located in Dubai, Japan, Germany, and Australia. That takes the number of Alibaba cloud facilities outside of China to 8, with the tech giant now present on nearly every major continent. What's beyond the cloud? Well, it might be quantum computing. And Microsoft is jumping in, moving from research to an expensive effort to build a working prototype supercomputer that would exploit the unusual physical properties of subatomic particles. There's already competition, including Google and IBM, which are also making significant investments in search of breakthroughs. Researchers are building quantum machines and developing new kinds of software to exploit certain qualities of devices known as qubits that hold out the possibility of computing in ways not possible for today's digital systems. Unlike conventional transistors, which can be only on or off at any one time, representing a digital one or zero, qubits can exist in superposition, or simultaneously in both states. If qubits are placed in an entangled state, physically separated but acting as though they are deeply intertwined with many other qubits, they can represent a vast number of values simultaneously. A quantum computer would most likely consist of hundreds or thousands of qubits. Microsoft has been researching this field since 2005. They now believe they're ready to build a machine. There is still a debate among physicists and computer scientists over whether quantum computers that perform useful calculations will ever be created, and they have yet to figure out the first qubit. The potential uses include encryption technology, which could make for safer technology, or it might make it just easier to break existing codes. Other proposed approaches might allow faster searching of databases or perform machine learning algorithms, which are being used to make advances in computer vision and speech recognition, or maybe even a machine that could solve problems in quantum physics. It's hard to imagine what such machines might be capable of, but I'm sure the computers will tell us when they are ready. The G20 group of 20 economies agreed after the 2007-2009 financial crisis that top banks, whose size and complexity mean a collapse could wreak havoc in markets, these big banks should hold extra capital according to the level of risk they represent. The bigger the bank, the bigger the risk, the greater the need for a cushion. In the annual update of rankings published by the G20's Financial Stability Board, Citi has replaced HSBC in the top bucket, facing a 2.5% capital surcharge on top of global minimum requirements. HSBC joins BNP Paribas and Deutsche Bank in the next category down with a surcharge of 2%. Bank of America rose a category to join them. Barclays dropped a category to the 1.5% mark. Wells Fargo rose to join the UK bank as well. Dow Jones Industrial Average today up 88 at 18,956, a record high close. Also a record high close for the S&P 500 up 16 at 2,198. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 5,368, also a record high close. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.